From the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
You are a brand name.
Wow.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Baseball. Is this the first perfect game ever thrown by somebody who gave up 8 earned runs in the start before? Baseball.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, ESPN NFL analyst Louis Riddick. Coming up, 49ers fullback Kyle Juszczyk. From Disney Plus's World Best, actor Utkarsh Ambudkar. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to this edition of The Rich Eisen Show. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We've got a fun conversation coming up with Kyle Juszczyk of the San Francisco 49ers in just about 20 minutes' time. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on this program. So we've got Louis Riddick last hour, got us to thinking. He said, if you look at the top 50 teams in the history of the NFL, virtually all of them have a top running back, which is his point way of saying, look, the devaluation of the position is what it is, but the crucial aspect of the position will never change. You point out, Chris, you know, the damn near perfect season Patriots did not have a running back
Lawrence
of note.
Lawrence Maroney.
You know, and many of those Patriots teams didn't really have much of a running attack of just a bell cow. Like right. Corey Dillon did it 1 year when Belichick was in the magical years of him taking your guy that couldn't do it for you and turning it into his, he took your straw and turned it into Patriot gold over and over and over again. Your guy doesn't do it very well for you. Bring him to New England. We'll turn him into a Super Bowl winner, or at least he and Brady would. And you said Terrell Davis was the last rushing champion, single season rushing champion to win the Super Bowl in the very same year. That was the last time that happened when he ran for 2,000 yards.
Yeah, in 2005, Sean Alexander led the league in rushing. Of course, made it to the Super Bowl.
Right.
Lost to the Steelers.
So that was these are the last running backs to do that?
To make the Super Bowl. TD, the last one to win it. I'm looking at passing champ right now.
Me too.
Mahomes did it this year, obviously. I think before that was Kurt Warner in 2001.
Well, yeah, Tom Brady led the league in passing in 2017, made the Super Bowl, but lost it to Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Then, you know, Breeze and Roethlisberger did it many years in a row, and then neither of them made the Super Bowl.
Yeah, Kurt.
Peyton Manning for the Broncos in 2013, he led the league in passing and then lost to the Seahawks in that Super Bowl in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Philip Rivers, Matt Schaub led the league in passing in 2009.
Yeah. 2001, Kurt had 4,830 yards, and they lost that year, actually, to New England.
Yes, they did.
But 2000, I think, might have been.
Peyton Manning led the league in passing in 2000, didn't make it. Steve Berline led the league in passing in 99.
Steve Berline, so yeah, I apologize. I said that wrong.
So, I don't know. What have we gleaned from this? Anything other than the fact that it's a team sport, maybe?
Nothing. Yeah, I mean, Emmitt led the league in rushing in 93. Dallas won the Super Bowl. So it's only happened a handful of times.
Right. Favre led the league in passing in 95 and didn't make the Super Bowl.
I actually think Mahomes might have been the first one.
To lead the league in passing and win it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going back. I'm in 1986 and nobody's still done it. Dan Marino a bunch of times.
Get out of here.
As far as rush or receiving, you know, Cooper Kupp did it.
Well, Cooper Kupp did everything, right?
Yeah, so that was
okay.
21.
That's the last one to do it. The triple crown.
Huh. Jerry Rice, he led the league in 95 in the 49ers.
Let's take this phone call. Robin in Costa Mesa, California. What's up, Robin?
Yeah, I think from an investor standpoint, and from a company owner, professional, the average life of a running back in the NFL is 2.5 years. A lot of these, you know, people are looking for 4 to 6, you know, year contracts, and they're just not going to get it.
Yeah, I get that, but I mean, it's just kind of wild. Could you imagine how that must feel? Like, Robin, I don't know what you do for a living. But, you know, you're looking for a new contract from your employer and you've got a, you know, hold your breath, and they're like, well, we can get someone out of college to do your job for much less. And I'm sure that happens quite a bit to anybody that's sitting here and listening. And then that person comes out of college and does a terrific job, and then now is in the position that you're in right now, 4 years after that, and they say to that person, well, we're going to get somebody out of college, and we're not going to pay you, despite your experience, despite your loyalty, despite what you've meant to this organization. Like, none of that matters. Like, see you later. Out the door.
Yeah, I totally, and
how frustrating that must be. That's why Miles Sanders says it sucks to be a running back right now in the NFL.
My dad and I had season tickets in 63 for the Chargers, and the Eckler thing is just killing me. That guy's put all his heart and soul into it.
Right.
And so
I know.
So that one thing kills me. But from a standpoint of these contracts that some of these running backs are going for, they're looking for 4 to 6 years. The average life in the NFL is 2.5. I mean, quarterbacks is 4.44 years. So that has to be, you know, brought into the equation. But mm-hmm. the Eckler thing just kills me. I mean, that guy's put his heart and soul into the Chargers. And so, all right, I'm going to let you go.
Thanks, Robin. Appreciate it, man. That's Robin and Costa Mesa. Interesting that he mentions Eckler and then tells me that he's going to let us go. Very Tom Telesco end of that conversation.
All right, guys, I got to go.
Yeah, all right, yeah.
You know?
I've been all right,
Rich. Good talking to you, Rich.
Yeah, okay, Rich.
Did he just Telesco me? I was just chit-chatting around.
I mean, he called us.
Mike, are you looking for the
Telesco? You call me. You call me.
You're not listening.
You know, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that just...
Listening.
I'll share with you.
Please do.
That phrase was used in my direction many times in high school when I was talking to girls on the phone, just chit-chatting with them, maybe trying to talk a game up or two, you know. All right, I'll let you go. But I wasn't asked to be let go in this conversation. What do you mean, I'll let you go? What does that mean? Like,
hey, thanks for having me on.
You know what I mean? And again, maybe that's why I'm very... you know, sensitive is like the junior year of high school, Rich Eisen, or Richard Eisen at the time in Staten Island, you know, that I would be on the phone trying to
spit some game
and I'll let you go.
Okay, Richard, thank you. You know, it was good chat. I'll see you in third period tomorrow.
No, that's not, it wasn't that. It wasn't that. It was like, all right.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
I got Telesco'd in high school.
Are you going to give me the geography homework or not?
No.
So it's all because
I had better game than that, I think.
Because Kathy Smith wouldn't let you buy her pizza at lunch.
Actually, her name was Maureen Perkowski.
Whoa. You threw her out there. Google alert.
No. She used an, all right, I'll let you go.
You got to move on.
Wow, there's been a history of people telling me this throughout my entire career. Is it me? It's me.
It's something I said.
It's not you lose, I win.
All right, now he's just playing greatest hits.
Is she a nurse now, Rich?
I don't know.
Oh, he knows.
Honestly, I don't.
Is she a nurse now?
So, here's an interesting. There's an article in The Athletic saying Mookie Betts of the Los Angeles Dodgers, formerly of the Reds. Yeah. You know, we were playing poker last night. Watched Mookie lead off the game. By the way, an hour and a half late in Denver because of the hail. You didn't see that?
I saw the clip that they showed. I didn't see the hail part.
Hail! It was a monster hailstorm.
Whoa.
So at any rate,
was Murph
Mookie,
playing yesterday?
Yeah, he was sitting next to me and
free Murph.
I wasn't a fan of his play last night. So Mookie leads off the game with a base hit in the left center field, legged it out into a double, and then got to third base on a routine fly ball. He was 2 for 2. I mean, I'm like, how the hell did the Red Sox not pay? And I'm not bringing that up just to...
Get out of here.
You could make the case Mookie Betts is the best athlete in Major League Baseball. And I know how much we're talking about Shohei Ohtani. This guy is unreal. What a blessing that he chose baseball. He could have probably played any professional sport he wanted to put his mind to.
He rolls 300 games in bowling routinely.
And by the way, you said that. Remember yesterday I was like, what's the other sport equivalent of a perfect game? And,
yeah, but,
and somebody brought that up on Twitter. Like,
I know, I saw that. But like,
I was like, that's a good
Joe
point.
Joe Schmo can roll 300
No,
games.
They can't, Chris. You cannot.
So, I'm saying there's someone right now, big fat guy at a bowling alley, rolling up 300 game.
So what he wants to do,
still tough, though.
Apparently Mookie, born out of trying to find Mike Trout on the field, after a game, he wants to bring the jersey swap to Major League Baseball.
Man, and I like this idea.
And you know, that's what he wants to do, all for the culture. He's trying to bring culture and bring stuff to the game. This is just part of it. So he did find Trout and, you know, Hunter Green and... You know, I think it's like game recognizes game, but you're seeing what looks like to me on the jersey swap is taking place before the game in Major League Baseball, right there for in Cincinnati. The Trout one looks like it's a jersey swap after the game, but there's a bunch of fans in the stands, and I guess this could be done before the game because after the game. The losing team just beats it right up the dugout tunnel.
Right.
In football, game's over. Everybody can just come to the center of the... It's not like if... Let's just say the equivalent in football would be as soon as the game's over, everybody on the losing side just pirouettes and walks off into the tunnel without... having to cross the field, just stay on their side of the field and just doesn't even interact with the other team. And as you know, that doesn't happen in football because the two coaches actually meet at midfield. That's part of the tradition.
Yep.
A handshake that is a lot of fun sometimes because it's awkward.
It's some contentious
prior beef.
Yeah, I don't know, or it just doesn't lead to much. It's just a quick slapping of hands.
Remember Jim Harbaugh? One guy accuses another guy of spying on a different team.
Okay,
that sounds personal. Right?
Who's that? I don't know what you're talking about. What are you talking about?
Mangini.
Oh, okay.
Kind of a big deal in 2007.
I remember that. So you would have to basically tell the losing team to come on the field to have a jersey swap.
Players hang around. I mean, you can set this up
game.
Beforehand, you know, if Mookie's
but
talking
to Shohei.
But that's
the whole point.
Like,
isn't the jersey swap not really set up beforehand?
Who is the rookie that tried to get
Jameson
Aaron Rodgers?
Jameson Williams. And he's like, no, I'm going to hold on to this one. And Tirico even pointed out, because that was on NBC, it was the last game of the season last year, and he picked up on that to say, maybe Rodgers wants to hold on to it because he knows it's his last jersey. He implied it's his last jersey he's going to wear in Green Bay. It turned out to be that. But also, the backstory was apparently that Jameson Williams asked for Rodgers' jersey
prior.
Right.
When the Lions had beaten Green Bay earlier. And he's like, let's do this next time, with him figuring, I'll be in a better mood because you're going to be coming to our house. We'll win, and I'm happy to swap a jersey that I've just beaten you in.
Right.
And so they're not set up usually. It's just like, hey, you want to swap jerseys? Yeah, because that's the camaraderie between players that Mookie is trying to inject into what appears to not exist in Major League Baseball, or it does. And there's no...
We don't really see it.
There's no mechanism to foster it or bring it about for everyone to see? Is that what it is?
You know, it's not like Little League where, you know, the game's over and you do the handshake line and you chant for the other team.
Maybe you do it.
Maybe we kind of get this going.
College basketball, you know, you shake hands.
Right.
Professional basketball, it's just like, see ya. Sometimes, right? Sometimes, remember Phil Jackson would be inside the tunnel as the final buzzer goes. Like, he doesn't even do the wave sometimes, right? He would just be out. He would just be, you know, ambling out up the tunnel. But players do have this, they're right there on the court. So they see each other, they dap each other up, and then they swap jerseys. There's some sweater swapping in hockey, right? I mean, although those guys don't get on the ice together.
Yeah, only in the playoffs.
The only time, if you think about it, the only time Major League Baseball teams, both of them, are on the field together is when there's a brawl.
Or when
brawl.
You know what I mean? Or a bench clearer. You know, and we all know, my favorite part about that. Is there people come out of the dugout and they're right there on the field and they're posturing and somebody's got to come in with their satin jacket from the bullpen 300 feet away. I'm coming. Hold on. Nice you guys, wait. I'm nice, coming. Nice wait. Hold on. Don't start brawling yet. Wait, I'm almost there. Hold
nice,
on.
Nice jacket.
Hold on.
Fight's over.
All right, here we go. No. All right. I'm on the outfield grass. On the infield grass. Okay. Now you guys, let's go. Let's hit each other.
It's already over.
But I guess that's what he's trying to do is foster the camaraderie. Happy to have him on the ear to talk about it. But, you know, Major League Baseball players, I'll say this again, they don't do media outside of just their locals, right? They do their local.
Yeah.
And that's it. They don't call into radio. They really rarely call into radio shows. Remember Alex Bregman?
Came in here,
and he's like, I want to change that, you know? Christian Yelich was saying, we want to change that.
Guys,
we want to
talk about YouTube pages,
get out there,
and content creation. But that was years ago.
I dig it. I mean,
it's cool. It's a cool
idea. After the game would be great. Because that's when the camaraderie is like, all right, we just competed against each other. We just tried to beat each other's brains in. But now we're part of the same brotherhood to play in this sport and make it better.
Yeah, that stuff pops up on social media. You see the clips on Instagram and TikTok and Twitter, and that would be cool. But we'll see. It's going to take someone like Mookie, the star power that he's got.
Well, he's doing it.
Kind of get it going.
Who wouldn't want to sign number 50 on their wall?
The other thing, too, it's not like the NFL where there's only 17 games. It's the NBA, you know, there's 162 of these. There's a lot of jerseys.
It would be an awkward jersey swap with the Red Sox for him, don't you think? Since, well, you know, he already swapped that jersey.
I mean, you trying to troll right now?
Yes.
I mean, he started with me earlier today.
No, I'm coming for you.
What, is John Henry coming down and he's going to swap sport coats?
No, but I do appreciate it. Like, for instance, after the NFL draft, I would have swapped microphones with Greeny.
Swap ties with Greeny?
Swap ties. Is that what it would be? Would that be the equivalent?
Yes, the tie swap.
Swap notes?
Swap
notes. What's
going to
be a garment? A garment?
No,
Mike
garment. Tie swap.
Well, if he's not wearing a tie, though.
Well, always. That's a draft you're wearing.
But wait, those are issued by, like, the Dodgers, and they're the same amount of money. I mean, I'd have to ask Greeny what type of ties he's wearing. Like, I'm not going to take an ESPN wardrobe issued tie when I'm wearing my special thing that tie that I paid
for.
I'm sure.
I mean,
like, we'd have to swap receipts.
We've seen
before we swap ties. I'm
telling you, Mike Flags are waiting.
Yeah, Mike Flags.
Swap dogs.
No, they cost
Mike Flags. Mike Flags. That's not skin off my nose.
Don't be doing that.
Why?
We gotta protect those things.
The audio guy.
We gotta protect those.
It comes out of your.
Paycheck? Trust me, when I worked for the NFL Network, it was like gold.
Mike, you literally have a box full of Mike Flags behind you right now. Literally, in actual fact.
I was responsible.
It's from the Rich Eisen production.
Yeah, if somebody takes one of those,
I don't mind if we swap Mike Flags with somebody.
If somebody takes one of those, they're not gonna find.
I'll swap Mike Flags with Dan.
You will not be found.
You know.
You steal.
Dan gave me a shirt once at the Super Bowl.
He did. You swapped shirts, didn't you?
We did.
True.
Then I washed it and gave it back to him.
That's true. He did ask me. He's like, when's he going to do that?
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. All right, we'll take a break. Kyle Juszczyk of the San Francisco 49ers. Next, this is the Rich Eisen Show.
Are you currently enjoying this show on the Stitcher app? Then you need to know Stitcher is going away on August 29th. Yep. Going away, as in kaput, gone, dead. Rest in peace, Stitcher, and thanks for 15 years of service to the podcast community. So switch to another podcast app and follow this show there. Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen.
Get it. an inside look at Hollywood with Michael Rosenbaum. Actress Kristen Ritter.
Your parents let you travel by yourself.
It was a different time.
They just put you on a train. As a 15-year-old girl, you went to New York.
I went on a bus, and I did get picked up at Port Authority. They thought I was a runaway.
What would they do?
They'd detain you and, like, get people on the phone, and then they finally let you go to your modeling job.
But how many times did it happen?
Once or twice.
It just seems like it wouldn't happen.
It happens, yeah.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum, wherever you listen.
Welcome back to the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Thrilled to have this guy on the program. Everybody that we know from the 49ers sings his praises. Thrilled to have here the great fullback of the San Francisco 49ers, Kyle Juszczyk, on the program. How are you, Kyle?
Hey, Rich, I'm doing good, man. Stoked to talk to you. Thanks for having me on.
I'm stoked to have you on. I think this is the first time you've been on, if I'm not mistaken.
I know. It's taken 10 years too long.
Well, I had to wait for you to make your seventh Pro Bowl, Kyle. You know, I have standards.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Understandable.
I have standards. Let's just jump into this. Walk me through your draft day, Kyle. What was that like back in the day?
Oh, draft day. I have a pretty good draft day story.
Okay.
So my agent, he was pretty confident that I was going to be a day three pick. You know, he said, most likely you're going to get drafted somewhere in that fourth to sixth round. And I took my chance and I had a draft party, which, you know, it's really rolling the dice when you're a fullback coming from Harvard to host a draft party. But I felt good about it. My agent, Joe Linta, he felt really comfortable with it. So we host a party at my mom's house back in Medina, Ohio,
mm-hmm.
and have all my family and friends over, and really just kind of a dream day. You know, fourth round, day three comes up, and we're all sitting in my living room, and I get that call with the Baltimore area code. I talk to Ozzie Newsome first. My whole living room just goes absolutely insane when my name comes across the ticker, and there's a great video on YouTube of it. Just really such a surreal day. You know, that was my biggest goal in my entire life, was to make it into the NFL. So to get drafted was just like, it's hard to even put into words. Like, when I think about that day, I still get choked up. But besides that part of, you know, living out my childhood dream, my mom had bought a meat tray for the party. And everyone at the party ate this meat tray. We had, like, it was just like, I don't know, like a local spot that everybody loved. Well, we all got food poisoning that night.
Oh, God.
From this meat tray. And so all my friends, are in town staying with me, staying at the house. Our septic system broke that night.
Oh.
So we had no bathroom. We all have food poisoning, and multiple friends get their flights got canceled like the next day. So here I am, like, wow, riding on an absolute high, best day, literally like one of the best days of my life at the time, best day of my life. And then we all get hit with food poisoning and can't go to the bathroom anywhere.
So did you go to the Ravens the next day and they're like, how'd you drop so much weight? And you know, you had to explain what was going on.
Back then, we had like a week until we had to report to rookie minicamp. I don't know if I feel like it's different nowadays, where guys are literally like there the next day or so.
Yeah.
But I think I got drafted on like a Sunday, and we didn't have to report until like the next week. So
right.
I had some time to gain that weight back.
So, what was your rookie year like? I don't know the Ravens roster off the top of my head from 2013, but obviously Harbaugh was there, and what do you got for me on that front? Who was there? Ray?
So the Ravens had just won the Super Bowl.
Right.
And Vontae Leach was their fullback, and he had just made a Pro Bowl. But after drafting me, they were kind of, you know, moving on to a new younger regime. And so they released Vontae, brought me in, and I went through all mini camp, OTAs, all that kind of stuff, you know, running with the ones, thinking, you know, I have a chance to come in here and play as a young rookie. And it comes to our first day of pads, and notoriously in Baltimore, the first day of pads was always short yardage and goal line. And so I didn't play fullback in college. I played tight end, but I was like a glorified slot receiver. Like I was a true like H-back. Like I was very rarely in the backfield. So I was still learning the position, and it's short yardage and goal line day. And we have three groups, and I'm the only fullback on the roster. And so I go 12 reps in a row on the goal line and coming out of the I formation. And these guys just absolute took a beating on me. Like, safety's coming downhill, 10 yards, full head of steam. They know I'm this rookie. I just got my butt kicked on the play before. They're just going to take advantage of me. And so I just got absolutely pelted for 12 plays in a row, to where, like, I had to wear a turtleneck to practice the next day because my neck was so bruised. It looked like I had gotten, like, 12 hickeys. And I'm not embarrassed to say this now because, like you said earlier, I'm on my 7th Pro Bowl.
So straight.
I can live up to this. The next day, they signed Vontae Leach back to the squad.
Oh, my gosh.
Literally the next day after that one day in pads, they signed Leach back. And so I was kind of I went back to just being a special teams guy. And so my rookie year, I only played 4 offensive snaps. And the rest were, I was a 4-phase special teams guy. Jim Caldwell was our offense coordinator, and he really didn't use a fullback all that much anyways. Even Vontae wasn't playing a lot on offense. So that first year was really kind of a redshirt year on offense, and I just had to make a name for myself on special teams, which I ended up having a really good year there. But it wasn't until my second year that we brought in Gary Kubiak as our offense coordinator that he really – he believed in me, and he felt like I could – get it done at fullback. He liked the skill set I had, and he gave me a chance past that first day of pads, and I eventually was able to, you know, show what I could do, and, you know, kind of took off from there.
Kyle Juszczyk here on the Rich Eisen Show. What in the world is it like to be a fullback in the free agent market like you were back in the day? I mean, I can't imagine what the hell that was like.
So I've had such a unique career because my experience was definitely nothing like any of the other fullbacks. Because I actually had suitors. Like I had probably 12 different teams that were lining up and giving me offers. This, you know, back in 2017, my first go around as a free agent. And I'm lucky to be in that position because, you know, most fullbacks, that's just not the case. They're happy to be on a roster. But I always tell anybody who's about to go into free agency who, you know, has had a good first 4 years that free agency is the best time ever because you just got everybody telling you how great you are, how bad they want you on your team. You start going through all these ideas with your family. Man, what would it be like to live in this city? What would it be like to live here? Oh, this team's kind of cool. I like what they've been doing. You know, like you go through all these scenarios. So for me, it truly was a great experience. And I'm so happy that it ended with me being in San Francisco. I remember when my agent told me that they were interested, I'm like, man, if you can just do anything to get them to just match the highest offer from anyone else, yeah, I'm there. Because I love the idea of moving to California, and I loved what Kyle's offense was like. I had just watched them, you know, in the playoffs and in the Super Bowl in Atlanta, saw what they did with their fullback then, and felt like I could really thrive in it.
Well, let's talk about Kyle Shanahan. I got Kyle Juszczyk here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'm going to ask something that you're going to have to go through your brain, but again, to your mental Rolodex here and your memory, but you're a Harvard man, so you'll be good with this. What's your favorite football conversation with Kyle Shanahan that made you go, okay, either it was early on, like I'm in a good spot, or you're now several years in, you talk the same language. And what he was telling you turned out to be exactly what happened on the field later on that week. You got a good story for me on that front, Kyle Juszczyk?
The thing is, like, I feel like I have so many football stories of Kyle. Like, I mean, number one, if you sit in his team meetings, you are just blown away by the football knowledge and just what he teaches the entire room. Like, every day, it's cool now that we bought Christian McCaffrey in because you know, he hasn't been around this. I've been around it for like 7 years now. So you get kind of used to it. But he sits next to me in the team meeting and, you know, Kyle will finish up and he'll just look at me. He'd be like, dude, I could do this all day. This is incredible. He just went through 22 people on the field and told you exactly what their assignment was, how they're supposed to do it, how this guy being out of gap leads to the next guy, you know, opening up a hole. So number one is team meetings are just so much fun. And just if you're a football nerd, like you could sit in there for hours and you never get bored. It truly is something special. I've definitely had a lot of conversations like in game about, you know, hey, like we're going to run this play to set up something else. I'm blanking on a good exact example of my own case, but I can point one out. And there's videos of this of we're about to run. It's just like a branch route. It's like an 8 yard out. And right before the play, he tells the ref, he's like, "Hey, Kittle has an 8 yard break, 8 yard route that he's going to break out on in the NFC Championship game against the Green Bay Packers." And he's like, the defender has outside leverage. He's going to grab George when he breaks out. Just be ready for it. And literally, like, 7 seconds later, it plays out exactly how he said. Ref grabs the flag, throws it, and it's just like he just called his shot in the NFC Championship. And he does that just on a regular basis. Like, in installs during the week, he'll tell you how the defense is going to react. And you go out there on Sunday, and it plays out just that way.
Kyle Juszczyk here on the Rich Eisen Show, 7-time Pro Bowl fullback from the San Francisco 49ers. Why did Brock Purdy work so well last year from your perspective? Walk me through how a guy drafted in the manner in which he was drafted, and we understand the circumstances that got him out there on the field. Why did that work? Why does he work well like that?
When I describe Brock to people, and I truly, like, this is the biggest compliment that I could ever receive, is, like, I say he's a football player. Like, the guy has just played a lot of ball. He started, you know, since he was a freshman at Iowa State. So he played a lot of games. And you have, you know, it when you're playing that position, especially a quarterback, you just need those reps. You need those live reps, those live bullets. And just certain little things, timing things, natural reactions, they just get ingrained in your head and you're just not thinking as much out there. You're just reacting. And I felt like that's what he was doing. If he was just going out there and he was reacting, he didn't have to think about it as much. And it sounds so much easier than what it really is. Like, to have the confidence to do that as, you know, the last pick of the draft, rookie, you're the first year in this offense, to have the trust in Kyle to, all right, this is what Kyle told me to do during the week when we did the install. All right, I'm just going to go do that. I'm going to react. I'm not going to overthink it. And I felt like that's what he really did. He was so well prepared that he didn't have to overthink things. And he really just ran the offense. He didn't try to do too much. He trusted in the playmakers that he had. He's got a plethora of weapons in our offense, and he didn't try to take on too much. He just went out there and he reacted. And I don't know, it sounds so simple, but it's so much harder to do than just say it.
So is this a true competition? Again, it's tough for so many fans to grasp that Purdy did it last year and he's coming back from that wing surgery, right? And Trey Lance is coming back from his ankle, and the team used so much capital to go ahead and draft him, and he still really hasn't played that much, and Sam Darnold is here. I don't want to put you too much in a position, but from your position, is this a true competition, do you think, at the quarterback spot, where we do not know September 10th who's your starting quarterback in Pittsburgh, Kyle, right now?
I'm gonna bring in a guest speaker here. See if you recognize his voice. He's gonna answer for you.
Hey, Rich Eisen, George Kittle here, out here at Kyle Juszczyk's house in Long Island. You know, you've been asking a lot of quarterback questions over my entire career, and the fact that you just keep asking, guys, it's just kind of crazy. Is there another content out there that people want to know about San Francisco 49ers?
Kittle, you're not still drunk from the Beer Olympics, are you, George?
Great question.
All I know about the Beer Olympics, Rich, is that I won with DeForest Buckner as my partner. Cole 85, baby.
Oh, wow. Well, this is a pleasant surprise. Okay.
Hey, Me and George, we don't go far from each other, man. Off-season, in-season, we're always working together.
Hey, Rich, man, we're in the middle of a nice upper body pump right now. I was talking to you instead of working out with me. So just let you know that he likes you a lot.
He's not lying.
Oh, my gosh. What a pleasure, George. So answer the question. Are you still drunk from the beer? Are you still drunk from the beer Olympics? Or you're finally sober from that?
All I know is this, Rich. I won. Next day I got a great workout in, and now I'm in New York getting more workouts in, baby.
You're locked.
The guy really, he never stopped. He never ever
stopped. Wait, so wait a minute. Are you on speaker together? Are you sharing like an iPhone earbud?
Right now, what, yes. We're in my guest bedroom on the speaker on my phone.
It's impressive.
With the speaker.
Wow. Okay.
Sharing a little microphone. I was thinking about calling in, Rich, but I didn't want to interrupt you guys.
You know, but you swooped in just when I asked the juiciest question to @JuiceCheck. You know, I mean.
I know, but Rich, how juicy is it when it gets asked all the time to every single player on the San Francisco 49ers?
He's got you.
Touche.
Right. Look at George Kittle blocking and pancaking me right now. I like it.
All
right.
Hey, I got weak side pass pro for my guy Juszczyk all day because I know he's got my back. I'm going to let you guys finish your interview and I'll see Juice in a little bit.
George Kittle, everybody. Kittle. Look at him. All right. What a cameo.
Hope you guys didn't mind the cameo.
No.
$100.
That's expensive.
He doesn't work for free.
That's expensive. Wow. All right. Well, do you want to answer the question now, Kyle, or no?
Honestly, Rich, I wish I can't really say. Like, right. At the end of the day, it's up to Kyle. And with Brock recovering from his injury, there's not really much that, you know, he can't really be in a competition during, like, OTAs and that sort of thing. We'll see when we get back to get back for training camp how much he can do. But from my understanding, it seems like, Brock has the upper hand, and I don't know if that's, you know, the official word. At the end of the day, we all have to win our spots when you come into training camp. So I'm sure that'll be the case, and, you know, we'll see who can go out there and perform the best when we get back. And I think it's really going to, you know, be as simple as that. Brock's kind of the incumbent guy. He finished the season for us, had an incredible year. But like you said, Trey, he hasn't really had a chance to really show what he can do. And, you know, we invested a lot in him. And, you know, we brought in Sam Darnold, who's, you know, been playing quarterback in this league for a while. So they're all going to get their shots, I'm sure. And someone can always wow you, just like any other position. But just kind of one of those wait and see things.
Kyle, this has been a fun chat, even before George cameoed. I appreciate that. And as I always, and Kittle will tell you, I always like to leave my guests in a better spot. So I'll give you this piece of information that you can use. I don't know if you're aware, but Ryan Fitzpatrick also went to Harvard. I don't know if you're aware of that, Kyle.
Really? Yeah. Nobody's mentioned that in a single interview. That's
yeah, I know crazy. That. You know, I know that. And so you could tell Ryan, you know, who, by the way, went to Harvard, that there's only one human being on planet Earth who scored in the Super Bowl who went to Harvard. Who is that person, Kyle Juszczyk, who did that?
I think that was number 44.
In your program, number one in your heart, Kyle Juszczyk. Fantastic. All right, go back. What was it again? Upper body? What are we lifting today?
Upper body pump. You know, it's Friday. Okay. We got to look good for the weekend.
It's upper body pump Friday. We need to start doing that here.
I don't know if we're really up for that, quite frankly.
Thanks for the call, Kyle. Really appreciate it. Let's do this more often. Greatly appreciate it, man.
Absolutely, man. I'm full of stories, so you have to get me back on.
Done. Absolutely. Well, look for my call in training camp. Thanks for the call. You take care.
Sounds good, man.
Kyle Juszczyk, everybody. What a fantastic maiden voyage here on the Rich Eisen Show. Right? And every time he calls, we've got to get a cameo, right?
From somebody.
That Kittle cameo came out of nowhere.
Boom. In Long Island.
Wow.
Because that last time I saw him, he was beer ponging his ass off in Tennessee.
Right? They put on a performance at the Beer Olympics. Yeah.
I got invited to that.
You did?
I did.
Bro.
What do you mean, bro?
What are we doing?
What do you mean, what are we doing?
We could have been a team. That would have been awesome.
Could you, dude?
What are you talking about? Who cares?
What are you talking about?
It's not about where you finish. It's about your journey
along
the way.
Just participating?
Yes.
Chris,
Well,
do you understand?
Okay, take a break and come back. We got to talk about this.
All right, we'll take a break.
Unbelievable.
844-204-RICH, number to dial.
For decades, Rolling Stone has set the bar for entertainment publications. Today, Rolling Stone Music Now takes over in podcast form. Songwriter and producer Jamie Hartman reacts to the Ed Sheeran verdict.
You need to create something new, and of course you're going to use traditional paths to get there. Are you going to sue the Rolling Stones for making a samba out of Sympathy for the Devil? You're going to sue Elvis Presley for writing Bossa Nova? It's like saying you're not allowed to use a pencil to create a piece of art.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
Tight ends, man. We just had George Kittle crash the phone with Kyle Juszczyk.
Yeah, buddy.
The star, the absolute underrated star of the match in Las Vegas, Nevada yesterday. Firing darts. Ripping down the middle, firing darts at pins.
Good. He's come a long way.
Travis Kelce.
Yeah, buddy.
He bailed out his quarterback from time to time.
He was, you know, I know Steph Curry is a stick, but Kelce was the best one out there yesterday.
I think he was tremendous. And by the way, showing up, and you know, knit golf wear in
Which
Las
he
Vegas.
Quickly bailed on because it was 110 degrees.
I know, right? But Kelce was really, really good. And unfortunately for Clay, he gave new meaning to Splash Brothers very, very, very often.
Not a great.
That is the worst. I mean, what a nightmare that would be.
Yes,
is to put your golf game on national television with Charles Barkley and Draymond Green having unfettered access to a live microphone. Yep. Oh, my gosh.
Correct.
And also, congratulations to Ernie Johnson, who was surprised during the broadcast with his induction or election to the National Sportscasters Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Charles dropped that.
That was great.
During the pre-show.
I love the match. It's fun.
Me too.
And that's a neat mix. Von Miller being out there, too. But kudos to, you know, Bagger Kelce, man.
Bagger Kelce.
Sandbagger Kelce.
I don't know about that. I don't think
people expected that.
He was terrific.
Yeah.
Another blow. Mighty blow struck for the tight end. Well done, man.
Yeah, the match is super fun. I can't wait to see what the next one's going to be.
And they should do it again. Two basketball players, two NBA stars against two NFL stars. Once again, I mean, the Chiefs. I don't think the Chiefs have ever lost in Las Vegas, by the way.
They were underdogs, and people were like, you really going to bet against Mahomes as an underdog?
But it wasn't Mahomes, it was Kelce.
That's what I mean. They both did it.
Bigger upset. Travis Kelce being the best player of the match.
Okay.
Or you learning that I got invited to the beer Olympics by the Bussin guys.
How are we just now finding out about this?
There it is. I got a text from Luan on the 29th. You were invited to spectate and hang out watching a group of grown men battle for the belt at the Beer Olympics 2023. I was invited for set dressing.
That's definitely a copy and paste text.
Spectators will have access to ice luge, Polish horseshoes.
I don't know what that means.
Can jam, arcade games, etc. And, of course, an open bar. Hope to see you there. Please let me know ASAP if you're going to come. So, and then, by the way, 10 days later, a paperless post invite. You know, like it's a baby shower. Except the shower is beer.
May 29th. We could have went to this?
But, dude, I got kids off at camp. I was out of this chair for 7 show days. What am I going to tap out again? And plus, again, if I'm going to go there, they still don't have a motor on that bus.
Yeah, it's got a motor.
But you're physically there.
I know that.
Which, you know, you're there. So
but if I'm going to go, if I'm going to go, then I'm going to, I would go on their pod.
Pictures every but day they, still.
If I go to Nashville and like, I'm unavailable because I'm in a beer stupor with Polish, whatever the hell that
horseshoes.
Ice luge. But again, I wasn't invited to participate. I was invited to spectate. Yeah,
like, but Rich, just being there.
Does that mean they think I can't do this stuff?
They actually do. They think you can't.
Maybe, but you're not an NFL player, so you could have been there. And
were
then
they all NFL players? I didn't drill down deep.
Bert Kreischer was there.
Oh, he crushed it.
Well, I mean, that makes sense.
I understand, but you start there, and you're suddenly announcing, and then like, oh, hey, Eisen, get in here on this flip cup game, and then all of a sudden we're in the mix.
Flip cup game.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
We're in the mix.
But Bert's used to working shirtless around beer. That's That's not me. But the fact that they invite, so I should have accepted, brought you.
Correct. And then away we go. Content. We would have been making content the whole time there.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot about
it. We could have played it all back.
I forgot about the content.
We could have played it all back
my
here,
bad.
And it would have been like, hey, look at us at the Beer Olympics.
Del Tufo, can you come
and Kittle and Bert.
My bad.
Can
my
you
bad.
Bail us out of jail?
This show.
Just saying.
You know.
We could have done a day show
just
there.
Dropped, you know, three kids dropped off at camp.
You need you to
know, I could have actually, instead of reconnecting with Suze, sorry, I got, you know, I got to go do this thing in right. Nashville. What is this thing? Well, it's the Beer Olympics. And, oh, you know what it is? And don't worry about it. It's not going to be, it'll be quick. And then all of a sudden there's a shot of me with Taylor Lewan putting me in a headlock shirtless in a pool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Content.
Got it.
You see your wife every day. We see.
No,
Lewan.
I know that.
Like,
I mean, no, I get it.
I'm just saying. You dropped the ball on that one.
Yeah, I'm not blaming anything on Susie. I might have dropped
No, I understand.
I dropped the ping pong ball on that one.
Yeah.
Thing is, I'm finding out about this a month later that we could have gone to this.
Well, I mean, I guess it was such a raging success. There's going to be another Olympics next year.
Too. Yep. Don't fumble that bag, please.
It's not another four years. And by then, I think I'll have appeared at the on bussin'.
They're getting a motor?
I don't know.
But you're gonna cave.
I don't know about caving. I don't know about caving.
Is that dude still posting daily pics?
Oh, by the way.
And where's he finding?
The idea that Jack McPherson.
He was gonna get a truck or something.
You know, Jack, right? I'll just say this through this microphone here. I'm thinking of going on the bus, but my one condition is I go with them to pick up the Chevy Silverado he has earned, and he drives me to the airport to go home in it.
That's pretty funny. That's a good bit. Yeah.
This is what I'm thinking about. So just understand, I might not be beer ponging with them or appearing on the
bus,
but I'm
cultivating capers.
They're in my head because okay. I can't quit them.
Conspiracy theories, paranormal, UFOs.
Science teacher Andrew Greenwood stated that a child ran into his classroom and was hysterically screaming and talking about the flying saucer outside.
Hundreds of children ran out of their classrooms to go outside and see this unidentified flying object that was just above the school.
Just imagine, a bunch of kids running out of school. Most of them probably just ran home.
Theories of the Third Kind on YouTube or wherever you listen.